Praise God, it's absolutely fabulous to have Jolie with us this afternoon. He's always a great blessing, and we're pleased to welcome him. So, yeah, give him a welcome as he comes and shares the word of God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure being here. Hallelujah. It's always a pleasure. You know, this is the house of God.
Amen.
You are the brother and the sisters with whom I will spend the whole eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because we will all make it to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And since we will all make it, we'll spend the whole eternity together.
We will.
You know, this morning, earlier today, I was really blessed by the time of praise and worship.
Thank you,
I was really blessed. Amen. I felt like we should continue and never stop.
Amen.
You know, with my African mentality, we don't care about time. No. When we get into that church of God, we just keep going. You know that. You've experienced that. Hallelujah. But there will be a time when we will raise above time.
Amen.
The Bible says we'll stay in eternity with God. And forever and ever, we will just contemplate Him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Time will come where the only job we'll have will be to worship God.
Amen.
And to celebrate Him, to celebrate the one who died for us. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I just want to bring a word of encouragement to actually serve God. I just want to encourage us to serve God. Amen. I personally wish I was the one sitting there and being encouraged.
Amen.
Because there is so many areas in my life where I need improving. You know, I realize every day how many weak I'm still have. Amen. I realize how many weakness I still have. And I want day by day to improve and get better. Hallelujah. So I'm not intending to exclude myself from this encouragement, for this exhortation. I really want to key in and to take on, hallelujah, and go and build on it. Amen.
Amen.
Can we open our Bible in the book of 2 Kings? 2 Kings, chapter 5, serving God. This is our aim. This is our mission. Hallelujah. This is what we have decided to do for the rest of our life.
Amen.
Is to serve the Lord who has loved us. 2 Kings chapter 5, I'll read from the first verse to the fifth verse, and then I'll take on from 9 until 13. 2 Kings chapter 5, from the first verse. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, and highly regarded, because through him the Lord has given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he will cure him of his leprosy." Amen.
Amen.
And then we go to verse 10. Okay, let's start. Verse 9. Let's go from verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, is better than any of the rivers of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My master, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great things, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful story, isn't it? Wonderful story of the healing, a miracles work that was done in the life of this man, Naaman. Amen.
Yeah.
But I like how the Bible begins this story. From the first verse, the Bible begins by describing who was Naaman. Amen. Is it good to say Naaman or Nahaman? What? Naaman. Naaman. The Bible begins by giving explanation about Naaman's situation. And the Bible says, first of all, he was a commander of the army. Amen.
Yeah.
A commander of the army. This is like a general officer.
Yeah.
It's the highest rank in the army.
Yeah.
Naaman was in the top of his career.
Yeah.
He was at the top of society.
Yeah.
He was first class man, first class citizen. Amen. He wasn't just a simple soldier doing simple tasks. He was a general.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. A general. And the Bible goes on and says, he was a great man in the sight of the king. So he was favored by the king of his country.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He received a lot of favor. You know, at that time, when a king favors you, you are really favored. People can worship you when you pass away because the king has favored you.
Yeah.
That was the life of Naaman.
Yeah.
He was favored by the king. He was the most, I would say, among all the generals, he was the most favored. He was the one that the king loved the more. And the reason? Because through him, the country has won victory.
Yeah.
He was a good soldier, a great general. And you know, in those times, many kingdoms were relying so much on the capacity of the general. The general has to bring victory to the king. Hallelujah. I remember, for instance, when we read the story of Rome. In Rome, when a general win a battle, he become like a god.
Yeah.
Caesar will organize parties and ceremony to honor him. But if a general lose the battle, he's a dead man. So the kingdom was relying on the general. And we have here a general who was the key man in the success of the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Naaman. Through him, victory was provided. In fact, he was a hero. He was a hero for the people of that country.
Yeah.
He was the hero. He had a very good CV. If you open his CV, you can see the accomplishment, you know, you can see what he has achieved. He was very experienced. He had a lot of skills, highly qualified. Hallelujah. Very decorated. You know, when a soldier wears a uniform, you can tell this is a corporal, this is a general. You can tell by the uniform. The uniform of a general is made specially for the general. Hallelujah. With a lot of, you know, broderies, a lot of badges, a lot of, you can tell from far that the person who's approaching is a high rank officer. So Naaman had a wonderful dress he was wearing, full of honor. Amen.
Yeah.
I can imagine if Naaman was living in this time, when you get into his living room, you see a lot of certificates there, you know, a lot of pictures of battlefield, you know, a lot of pictures of him with Barack Obama, you know, with David Cameron, because he was a top officer. Hallelujah. That was the life of Naaman. So people were bowing down. People were worshiping him. When he was passing away,
yeah.
He was a man highly regarded. Hallelujah. Don't talk about his bank account. He had a bank account full of money, gold and silver. Do you know actually there are people in this earth who have so much money, they don't even know how much money they've got. They've got so many bank accounts, they forgot about their money. This was Naaman. He had many bank accounts. He had special bank account in Switzerland, loaded with money. Hallelujah. Naaman. So I can imagine that some people wish they were Naaman. I can imagine some young men could wish when they see him passing by, they can say, I wish he was my dad. I wish I was born in that family. Some soldier could look at him and say, I hope one day to become like him. People could envy him because he was highly regarded. Hallelujah. But then, just after that description, the Bible says, but he was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded, because through him the Lord has given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but, you know, my English is very poor, but I know that in the English language, when you say but, it's a conjunction. That means that what is about to come now will contradict everything that was said before.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What is about to come in the second sentence is strong enough to nullify whatever was said before.
Yeah.
So he was a great man. Yes. He was highly regarded. Yes. He had a lot of money. Yes. Everybody wished they can be like him. Yes. He was rich. Yes. He was a hero. Of course. But he was a leper.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He was a leper.
Yeah.
He had leprosy. Yeah. That leprosy enough. Was enough. If people knew really who Naaman was, they would never envy him. They would never like to be like him. If really people knew what was beyond the dress, what was hiding beyond that beautiful dress of the general, they would never wish to be like him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But he was a leper. He was a leper. You know, leprosy was a terrible disease, and still is a very terrible disease. Thanks God, nowadays it's not as terrible as it was before, because there is some improvement in medicine, and praise God for that. But at the time, there's no cure for leprosy. And the disease was so infectious that people actually had to leave the town. They have to leave the city and live in remote area.
Yeah.
The skin was damaged with sores and wounds, and sometimes the wound was so deep that some part of the body could come out. That was a terrible disease.
Yeah.
Terrible disease. In Israel, the sacrificator was actually, and the Levite was making a judgment when somebody had a problem, a skin disease. They would bring it to the temple, they would analyze him, and if it is a case of leprosy, they would send him outside.
Yeah.
You can read in Leviticus. Let's read Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus. There is a brief explanation of how things were done. Chapter 13 from verse 45. The Bible says, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn cloth, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. A person who has leprosy, he had to cry every time people were passing through him. Don't get close to me. I'm unclean. Don't get close to me. I'm dangerous. Don't get close to me. I'm infectious. Don't get close to me. And at the end, he had to be removed. This is not the life. Hallelujah. This is not alive. So, even Naaman knew that at some point he would leave the city. He knew that at some point the disease will escalate to a point where he will no longer stay. The CV he has, the qualification he has, will no longer be enough to keep him in that position. He knew it. Time was going for Naaman. Yeah. Hallelujah. The clock was going. But people couldn't see him because he had a dress. And the dress was covering his weaknesses. The beautiful dress was covering his weaknesses. So Naaman had two lives. One part of his life was full of glory and full of honor. He was admired by people. He was the hero. And everybody wanted to be like him. But inside, he was a dead man. Inside, he was living in pain. Inside, he was in shame. Inside, he had no hope. Hallelujah. And between the two lives was the dress of the general. So people could see him in the outside. You know, this is the reality today. We have in the world people who seems happier than everybody else. They have money. They are celebrities. They have everything they can wish for. But in the inside, they are the most miserable.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You go to a nightclub. People are happy, having a good time, dancing. And you say, why are they so happy? But when you look at them in the closest area, yeah, when they are alone, some of them wish they can take their life. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, this is the reality of the world. That's what the Bible says. Do not envy the world. And what is in the world? Everything is just an appearance. But inside, what is inside? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What is hiding beyond the dress? Beyond the beautiful faces that people put? Beyond, you know, the magazine. They go into the newspaper and the magazine and displaying the beautiful life, displaying the cars. But what is beyond all those things? Emptiness. This is the reality of life for many people without Christ. Hallelujah. This is the reason why we as a Christian, we should never envy what is in the world.
No.
We should never feel upset because people in the world are prospering. We should never complain because we see people moving. We should never complain. Hallelujah. Because we have the greatest riches inside us. Hallelujah. If Naaman knew how people were worshiping him, he can tell them, listen, young man, I wish I can be like you. I wish I can be as clean as you. I don't need those badges. I don't need those big names. I need to be healthy. Hallelujah. Naaman wish he can swap his life with an ordinary citizen.
Yeah.
But that ordinary citizen is not aware of how blessed he is.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have enough bread in the house. So he's not aware how blessed he is. Because nobody sings his name in the country. Hallelujah. This is the reality of life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. The world is passing away and also it lasts. Amen.
Yeah.
Everything we see in our eyes will pass away. Hallelujah. Will pass away. You see young people drinking and having a good time, but this is just the flesh.
Yeah.
But in the inside, they don't know what they are missing. In the inside, they cry out. Many people harm themselves. There is an emptiness. There is something that needs to be compensated. There is a leprosy inside.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So when Naaman was coming out of his house, He put his beautiful dress and people worshiping. But when he go back to his bedroom, it's a different man. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's a different man. Appearance. We are talking about appearance. It's not just for the world. Even for us in churches, sometimes we put a lot of appearances. Sometimes we pretend to do things or we pretend to be. Amen. Yeah. Even in church, we cover our weaknesses. We want to impress the pastor. We want to impress the leader. We want to impress the church. And we put a different face. But inside us can be a different story. Hallelujah. Yeah. As Christians, we should always be true to ourselves. Yeah. And be true to God. And encourage each other so we can walk in faith and build, hallelujah, and develop each other. Hallelujah. This is what we should. We should never judge each other. We should just support each other. And go home. Hallelujah. We don't have to put appearances to please man. Hallelujah. And this was the reality of life. God doesn't look at what is in the outside. God look in the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. We can fool people, but we'll never be able to fool God. The Bible says, when Samuel, Prophet Samuel, went to choose the next king, they presented to him David and his brothers. And when they presented Eliab, who was a great man, a big man. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord anointed one is before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance, nor at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. No. For man looks at what is in the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
This is the reality. So really for Naaman to be saved, he had to be humiliated. He had to be humiliated. What the Lord said to him actually was connected to Elijah. He went to Elijah, and Elijah said to Naaman, go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. This is not a private swimming pool. This is the Jordan. It's the river, the main river in the country. And Jordan was providing, so many activities was happening across the river. And this is where he had to go and wash himself. He was angry. He said, how can you ask me to go and wash myself in your river? Dirty river. There is so many good river in my country. But you see how God do things. He had to remove the dress. He had to come out of the dress. To be healed, the Lord will always ask us to come out. And to open our heart. Hallelujah. And for Naaman especially, because he probably won many battles against the Israel. He won many battles against the Jews.
Yeah.
But now, the people he used to conquer, he has to humiliate himself in front of them. He has to open his heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the message we need to preach to the world. Repentance. People need to open up themselves. They need to come out of, you know, the dress of appearances so that they can meet the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that was the story of Naaman. He met the Lord. That was the condition for salvation.
Yeah.
The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their weakness way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. Hallelujah. And I will heal their land.
Amen.
So for healing to come, Naaman had to come out of that double life and expose the true himself. What really was inside him. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he who cover his sin will not prosper, but whoever confess and forsake them will have mercy.
Amen.
Condition for salvation. Regardless of what souls, what wound, what damage has happened inside you, if you come to the Lord, He can restore you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm saying this, not just for the word, but for us as well.
Yeah.
As we go on in the journey, we have so many wounds, so many bad experiences. And inside us, there are so many pain, so many things that we hate about ourselves. So many things that make us cry overnight. Even if we worship in church, sometimes we go home and we cry because there is so many things that goes wrong. But the Bible says, He's able to heal us.
Amen.
He says, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me so I can set people free. Hallelujah. God can heal us.
Amen.
Whatever things goes wrong in our life, it might be something from the past that still follow us. God can heal us.
Amen.
I don't know what makes you cry overnight. I don't know what makes you sad. I don't know what brings shame to you. But God is able to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord we serve is able to do it. Glory be to God. But for this to happen, and this is the key point of my exhortation, the key point of my message, for that miracle to happen, for Naaman to actually come out of his comfort zone and open himself and receive salvation, for Naaman to be connected to Elijah, it needed somebody to play a very important role.
Yeah.
And that was the slave girl.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The slave girl had to play an important role. The Bible says, if you read on verse 2, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he will cure him of his leprosy." Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. She was a slave. You know, slave is, it's a very terrible situation to be in, especially in that time. A slave had no right. Amen. A slave had no right. A slave was less than an animal. No right at all. They can make you work from, bear in mind, the chart of human right wasn't invented yet. No workers' right, no trade union, nothing such as. A slave had no value. No value at all. That was the situation of that young man. Why she was a slave? Because Naaman went to war and he defeated the army of Israel. Naaman took captives. And one of the captives came to serve in Naaman's house. So can you imagine the situation of that young girl? She could be excused if she was spending all her life complaining about why she became a slave. She could easily choose to complain and says, "Why me, oh God? Why me?
Yeah.
What did I do to deserve this?
Yeah.
Why me? I'm still a young girl. What is happening to me? What did I do to deserve such tragedy in my life?" Hallelujah. She could have done it. But guess what?
She didn't.
She didn't. She opened her eyes.
Yeah.
And she realized that in this house, there is somebody who's more miserable than I am.
Amen.
She opened her eyes. And she realized that I might be in chains, but I'm not a slave here.
Amen.
There is a slave in this house, and it's my master. My master is the slave. Every time he goes out, people adore him. But when he comes out, he comes in, I know who is the real Naaman.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I can I can imagine myself that because of leprosy, it might probably have been difficult for Naaman to remove his dress when he was inside. Because, you know, sometimes the wound can stick to the cloth. And it's painful. So I can imagine he had servants coming to remove those things. So the young girl was part of all those things. She saw what was happening inside. She realized that maybe I'm here for a purpose. Maybe I'm here for a purpose. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm not really the real slave in this house. There is a slave, the real slave, and God can do something for them. Hallelujah. God can do something. She realized that she had something which had more value than all the wealth that Naaman had. That was a testimony. She had a testimony. She knew somebody in his country. She knew about a prophet called Elijah. And she realized, well, I might be the slave here, but I have something inside me that no one can take away from me. I have the word of God with me. Hallelujah. Listen, we can lack everything, but if we have the word of God, we have everything. The Bible says, everything will pass away, but my word will never pass away. We have the greatest riches of all. We have the word of God. Hallelujah. So we shouldn't be complaining. We should stop looking at our chains, our physical chains. We should stop looking at our tragedy. We should stop complaining about our finances, complaining about, you know, jobs, complaining about things that doesn't go right in our life. We should stop complaining. We should open our eyes, right open, and see how many slaves are around us. And see how many people need Christ. And see how many people are miserable without Christ. And we have something that can save their life. We have the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, Paul says something really important. I want us to read it in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul says something when he was describing who is a servant of God. And what was their situation as servant of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 8, he says, I can start even from verse 7. He said, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, true glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Hallelujah. We have spoken freely to you and opened wide our hearts to you. This is what Paul says. We were poor, but yet we were the one enriching everyone. Because the word of God is with us. We had nothing, but yet we were giving people many things because of the word of God. And this is what we did in the midst of you, Corinthians. This is what Paul is saying. This is serving God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Serving God. It's about stopping to look at our own life and opening our hearts and say, maybe I'm here for a purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm here for a purpose. Maybe, not have a lot of money for Christmas this year is not the main issue. Maybe missing the holiday I was planning for is not the main issue. No. You know, maybe having a old car is not the main issue. I'm not saying that we shouldn't prosper. We should prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everything we do will prosper in Jesus' name. But what I'm saying is, as Grace said earlier, let us focus in the kingdom first. Amen. And everything shall be added to us. Amen. Hallelujah. That young girl shared a testimony. She didn't do any theology lesson, you know. She didn't know how to preach. She didn't go to Mattesi Hall to learn about, how do you call it, homiletics, you know, how to preach, and hermeneutics, how to interpret the script. She didn't do all those, you know, trainings. She just had a testimony. She was a witness. She knew somebody who knew somebody. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, if Andrew has a car, if the car broke, he bring the car to a garage and they fix the car. If I have the same car and my car broke, I'll ask him, how did you get yours fixed? Or he will even be the one advising me, say, listen, I had the same problem with my car. I brought it to this man and he fixed it. Good price. I can recommend it to you. This is what it is about. It's just about sharing our experience. Telling people, oh, if my master was there, there is a prophet. Surely that prophet can do things. I'm just a slave, but I've seen that prophet. I know what he's capable of doing. If the master can just get there, the life of my master will be changed. Amen. The Samaritan woman, she didn't do any theology neither. She just met Jesus. And what Jesus did for her was so great that she ran out and she went to the village and she started to testify. That's what the Bible says, I will make of you my witness. You be my witness. A witness is there to say what he has seen and heard. Hallelujah. We can do that. We can connect people to Christ. We can connect people to Christ. You know, I'm not so into Facebook. Do you know people? Do you know Facebook? Sometimes I use it. But I realized something. The Lord teaches me something. You know when you join Facebook and it begins to give you suggestion about some of the people you might know and some of the people you might invite them to join you. Facebook is like a social network. And you start inviting people. You are friend with this person and you make suggestion to another person to become friend with that person. So the network is increasing. And if one day you leave Facebook or you die or whatever happened, there will be your timeline showing what you did, you know, at this time and this time, how many people have been connected because of you. So as I was reading that, I thought myself, how many people have become friends of God through me? How many people did I connect to God? Hallelujah. So similarly to how Facebook operates, I kind of look at my timeline. What is the purpose of my life? If I'm there, I'm doing things, and tomorrow I'm not there. Tomorrow I die. What is the purpose of my life? I want the day I retire to the presence of God. I want to see many people who have become friends with God because of me. I want to see people who have been connected to God because of me, because of my profile, because they've been through my profile, they've been connected to me, and I'm connecting them back to God. This is what I want for my life. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what I want for my life. And this is what the slave girl did. She connected. She shared a testimony. Amen. And I just want to finish with this one, as I'm encouraging us to serve God. Hallelujah. I just want to finish with one scripture. You know, there is a scripture who says that Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. So I was thinking, I say, what was the secret of that man of God? What was the secret of his power that he could pray and things happen? Yeah. And as I read the story, I realized something. 1 Kings 17. I realized something that we as servant of God, because we are all servant of God, I realize a very important principle for servant of God, or a very important principle in serving God. 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says, now, verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishb in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither draw nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Amen. He says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives. And he continued, whom I serve. I like another scripture who says, the Lord in front of whom I'm standing. Elijah says, I'm standing in front of the Lord. Yeah. And because I'm standing in front of the Lord, I come to tell you there will be no rain. So I was thinking, where that confidence was coming from? You know, when you go to a restaurant, there is, in a good restaurant, usually, as soon as you step in, there will be somebody at your service. I think a waiter, isn't it? A waiter will be there, standing in front of you. Where you are sitting at your table, the waiter will come and he will say, I'm here to serve you. You give me your desire. And I'll go to the kitchen, I'll make an order based on your desire. Amen. And I realize that this is what we should be doing with the Lord. So many times, we are looking to be served. So many times, we are looking to be served by God. We want God to do things for us. But what really we should do is to come and stand in front of God and say to God, give me your order and I will fulfill it. Give me your command and I will fulfill it. And because Elijah was such a person, this is why he was able to say, I'm serving God. I'm just coming from the presence of God. I can tell you comfortably, there will be no rain. Because I'm serving God. Hallelujah. If we want the church to have power, we should go back to serving God. We should go back to standing in front of God. We should go back to be as those servants, receiving instruction from God. And not being at the table, looking to be fed. That's why there is so many wrong teaching about prosperity. Because people want to be fed. People want to eat. People want to be fed. But really what we really want to do is to forget about ourselves. And to say to the Lord, Lord, give me your word and I'll fulfill it. And the Bible says, as we fulfill the word of God, he will care for us. He will do things for us. Hallelujah. He will do things for us. I just wanted to encourage us to forget about our situation. I know we all have issues. We all have problems. But let us not forget we are here for a purpose. And our purpose is to serve God. There are people out there who need what we have. They need to be connected to Christ. Let's connect them to Christ. Let's share our testimony. And let's serve God. Praise the Lord.